Okay, so to finish up this this series on, I don't know, what do we call it? Hair, grooming, something of that. So I'm going to focus on what's colloquially known as peos, pas harosh. Originally we called it peos and beards, but then when I listened to Reitzer Chiner's shiur from 2 weeks ago on electric shavers, or sorcery, I realized that he'd covered most of the practical questions on beards, both in terms of where exactly the five corners of the beard are, and then in terms of what the prohibition is in terms of cutting it. So I'm going to focus on what he didn't, which was pas harosh. So it comes from the same pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, in number one, lo zakifu pas harshchem, lo zashchises pas zekinecha. You shall not round the corners of your head. And you can't destroy the corners of your beard. So we're going to come back to the phraseology of that pasuk in the phrasing of that pasuk in just a moment. But first, I know Reitzer Chiner touched on this. What is the reason for this prohibition, and does it make any difference? So the Rambam suggests the reason both for the prohibition of cutting the peos of the head and the peos and the corners of the beard is to not look like the idolaters used to cut their hair and their beards this way. Now, many of the Rishonim and the Achronim, or the later, really, whatever, the early Rishonim late and the late Achronim, suggest that either the Rambam doesn't mean this halacha l'maisa, he means it as sort of the philosophy behind the mitzvah, but has no halachic ramifications, that like the Meshech Chachma, or they disagree with his reason entirely, and they suggest alternatives. But if you think that his reason is A, the correct reason, and B, isn't just the philosophy behind it, but actually has halachic implications, so you get to a machlokas between the Taz and the Paramiros that's noted in the Pesachei Tshuva at the beginning of Yardei Kofei Aleph, where the Taz writes that Kosovat Taz, the source two, Kosovat Taz Sivkat Nalef Tilah Rambam Tala Din Zevov De Elilim Shulchok Shalahem Imken Yishlamim Heter Mishom Shol Malchus. So there is a dispensation that the Gemara offers when it comes to, let's say, b'chukosem lo seleichu, dressing in the ways of idolaters, that if one is involved in, the source is over here, if one is involved in shlom malchus, right, if someone is involved in the government and he needs to pass as a non-Jew, so then he's allowed to dress like a non-Jew. So if you think that this is one of those derivative isurim of avodah zarah, then similarly you would be able to waive this prohibition. And if one was involved in the government, so then, and he needed to fit in, so then he could cut his peos as well. And that's the position of the Taz. But the Panamiros pushes back and he says, "Vani omer chalila lomer kin, it can't be ledas haramam. Daf mashen isgur b'smin kivayin ches d'asrum min ha-Torah malkin no ledas haramam v'tir chom l'krovei malchus v'pnei shlo pirsha Torah shum davar u'masra l'chachomim v'heimro l'hatir l'krovim l'malchus." He said, look, even if you think that b'chukosem lo seleichu is biblical and you get malchus for it, in the end of the day, it's a generic prohibition. It doesn't say don't dress like non-Jews. It says don't be like non-Jews. And Chazal have to interpret it. Once Chazal have to interpret it, they have a level of authority over the implementation, over the legislation, as you were, interpret whatever, of the halacha. And therefore, if they decide that you can waive that prohibition when someone's involved in government, so that's fine. But when it comes to lo sakif v'asar shechem v'mashim b'furish b'torah l'isr, here, even if the reason for the mitzvah is avodah zarah, since what it says in the Torah is don't cut the corners of your head, even if that's the reason, the mitzvah will apply to everyone without exception. Because if it was just another idolatrous practice, so put it under the general heading of b'chukosem lo seleichu. So it must be as we said. And therefore, you can't waive it. And this is the majority of poskim who either think that the Rambam didn't mean it to affect the halacha itself, it was just a Tama mitzvah, or alternatively, they disagree with the Tama mitzvah. But the Taz did take it halacha l'maisa. Okay. Now,
the Taz made it only beard too.
So for only... presumably both, but he writes it about Pesach, because the Rambam says it about both, so I assume both. Okay. Now the Gemara, the central Gemara on this topic is the same Gemara that Rabbi Tarchiner quoted, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago. Where the Gemara says, "Amak basrosh Gemara makos tarabon paas rosho sof rosho vezu sof rosho zamashvat sidav lacharav azno lefadachto." So, what are the paas harosh? What are we talking about? So, they are the edges of the head, which is if you make the size of your head equal to what's behind your ear, and so basically you make a circle around your head, right? You round the head. That's what the word takif means, to make a, to encircle. And Tani Tamaka made Rav Chisda Echad, Amakiv Echad, Nirkov Loke. And this prohibition is unique because not only is the one who gets the haircut, not only the one who gives the haircut violates, but even the one who gets the haircut violates, and therefore you can't go to a non-Jewish barber and have him cut off your pass. That doesn't work. Amar Lei says that Truman Dachal Tamri Barbila Loke. He said, how could this be? Without getting to the details of that challenge. So he says, maybe either Domer Chamani or Bihudi, Domer Lav Shin Masa Lok. And I love, so maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda who thinks you always violate for passive prohibitions. Rava Omer Bamakif La'atzmo V'divrei HaKol. Rava says, maybe the case is where you shave your own head. Rav Ashi says, B'misayeyed V'divrei HaKol. No, everyone agrees that you will violate if you aid in any way. And therefore, if you go to a barber, you turn your head, right? He says, you know, is it good? You turn your head to the left, to the right, right? He says, move your head, stay still, whatever you're doing, that is misayeya, and then you clearly would violate. And by the beard as well, pasik no, tarabun, pasik no, sofsik no, that's the edge of the beard, vezu sofsik no, shibolas, zik no. Okay. The Gemara in Nazir brings a potential machlokas as to whether the prohibition is only if you cut the peos by themselves, or even if you shave your head, including the peos, right? I mean, is it that you can't leave your hair and shave peos, or you can never shave your peos? But the Gemara in the end concludes, if you just look at the last line in number 4, Ela dukule ha-makaf es kol ha-rosh, shma ha-kaf. Everyone agrees that that even if you shave your entire head, you will violate the prohibition. That's a little bit of background. Okay. But with that background, now we need to figure out a few things. So let me just sort of outline the questions we need to ask, and then we'll get to them one at a time. So, first question we're going to have to ask is, okay, we get it, the peos are on the head, the beard is the beard, but where exactly does the peos end and the beard begin? That's question one. Question two is, why does that even matter? Right? Meaning, if you can't shave your peos and you can't shave your beard, then is there a difference between the peos and the beard such that it makes a difference where one starts, where the next one begins? And as we'll see, that's going to be a machlokes rishonim, and it's going to focus on the linguistic difference in the pasuk, because the pasuk, well, by the beard it says, lo sashchis es pasuk kenecho, don't destroy the corners of your beard, which Chazal then derive means that you can't destroy it in a destructive way, but you can cut it with, let's say, a scissor. When by the peos you say lo sakifu, so then the Rishonim have to wonder, is that going to have similar halacha to the beard? Meaning, you are allowed to shave off your peos as long as you do it with a scissor, an electric shaver, or does the fact that it uses a different word, takif, tell you that it's more expansive, that it's not just that you can't destroy it, but that there's a positive mitzvah, perhaps, to have peos, or it's, even if it's a prohibition, it's more demanding, shall we say, than peos, which is going to, as we'll see, the position of most Rishonim, though notably not the Rambam. So that's the second question we have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with questions that come up especially in peos, even if you think that halachically you need very minimal peos. Is there a metaphysical reason, a spiritual reason, a mystical reason, any other reason to have longer peos? And we know that especially in peos, people tend to go beyond what they absolutely need in halacha. And we're going to have to see why that is true. So those are some of the halachic issues that we're going to have to deal with as we go through. Okay, so where exactly do the peos split from the beard? So I gave you in 5 from the Shulchan HaLevi. In this year I drew a lot on two shiur by Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Some of these sources I got from his source sheet because I didn't have access to the books at home, and also from Rabbi Simon, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, who has a 15. If you're really interested in beards and peos, he has a 15 part. Series on beards and peos, each of them an hour long, and each of them has a source packet, which I haven't gone through all of them, but at least the first two, each of them is 28 pages, so they're all pachot or yoter like that, so go ahead, 370 pages of whatever, more than that, no, 420 pages or pachot, I don't know.
Of
Mar Mekumos, yes. So, whatever, there's plenty to say on beards and peos. I finished, when I ran out of room on the fourth page, I stopped copying Makaros. That was it. But I do know I can get through this Makaros because I did a test run with the university students yesterday and I got through it. So hopefully we can do that today anyways. Okay, so where exactly, what is the peos? So Rebelsky says as follows. The author heard from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that's all the upper limit of the peos harosh begin at the highest point of the hairline as it arches over the ear and extends in a slightly curved line. So sort of like, you know, here, it gets that circle, across to where the hairline of the forehead turns sharply downward towards the sideburns. All the hair from the imaginary line that connects these two points and below compromise the peos harosh. Right, so like, you know, okay, if you can figure out exactly where that is, right, but it's basically, right, this part over here on the head. Some rabbanim have a mesora, a tradition of the rabbis, that the peos do not extend above the upper cartilage of the ear at all. So it's just from like here to here, right, until the top of the cartilage. So whatever this, like, I don't know, however big that is, this much. According to their mesora, the imaginary line extends horizontally from the point in the hairline above the foremost part of the ear until where the downward slope of the frontal hairline angles back towards the ear. Okay, I'm not totally sure exactly where that is, right? But I sort of understand what he wants. Ray Leibowitz quote said that Rebelsky asked, I forget who it was, I think it was Rebelsky. Sorry, I asked Ray Bleich what it is, and he said he asked a Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva pointed to someone in Yeshiva who had who was a redhead but was going white, and he said, "You see that Rosh Yeshiva? So you see where his hair, right? Because the beard sometimes changes at a different rate than the hair. So he said, you see where it is white? That's the beard. Where it's still tinged red, that's the head, right? Because you can sort of see, right, when they change at different rates, whatever that is, that's over here somewhere around there. The Arizal, quote in Beis Lechem Yudah, is a slightly different formulation. He says, Arizal yinoig b'inyan paus arosh ha'yemaniach kol roch avatzadim shu kol aser sheish min ha'ozen ad shlish ha'metzach. He said it's all the hair from the ear to a third of the forehead. Shu mako machalak sheish b'rosh mitzneit sedei ha'moach. So like this, right? I guess a third of my forehead, so about that. Right, okay, pachot yoter, mazik min time, v'govay meniach kishir im yakumo aznaim lamala, v'rosh adaso amokom v'yoser ma'at lamala. And then he would go up slightly from the, right, if the ears were straight, so a little bit farther up. Okay, but that's basically what we're talking about in terms of the pa'as harosh. Now, the Eretz Tzvi in number 7, note that he said there are people, he saw people. One of the reasons it's important to know where it is because sometimes, what does he see? People who have, they think they have very long peos, right? But sometimes people do it. It comes from up here, right? Like from the top of the head, they just let it grow out and then they wrap it around their ear. So they think they're Lamahadran. They have these huge peos, Elamai. Then what do? They shave over here, right? Because, I already have peyos. But no. The peyos are wherever exactly they are, right? They're, you know, this top part of the ear to the, you know, the hair parallel to the forehead, or exactly where to draw the line. It's not the stuff that's still up here on the head. So just having long peyos, quote unquote, that come down from the top of your head, but shaving everything here, right, that's not good. You'd end up violating Nizer. So it is important to know that the ikar peyos is, right, not all the way to the top of the head, nor is it the beard, which has its own halachos. It's this upper part of the ear, lower part of the forehead area, the corner of the head, and peyos need to be coming from there. Anything above there, it's very nice, doesn't count. Anything below there is the beard, and therefore is subject to the halachos of the beard. Well, the halachos of peyos are specifically that area in that. Right, oh, whatever exactly you want to put it, but somewhere around the top of the ear, lower part of the forehead. Okay. Now, how far do they go down? So again, comes back to Rector Chiner's here. If you remember, so there's the five corners of the beard, so the peyos are going to come, right? They start there, they come down a little bit, and then, you know, not, you know, somewhere on the beard, pick up the five corners of the beard, which I'm not going to go back over. Okay. So if you remember, number 9, the Gemara says that in the case of the beard, you only violate if you shave it. The Gemara said, derech hashchata, meaning with a blade. And therefore, the Gemara is mekel with bemilkit, berehitni, with all those other types of cunning instruments. So, do those dispensations apply to peyos or not? Meaning, do you have to have peyos, or you could shave off your peyos? You just need to make sure to use an electric razor and make sure it's not lift and cut, or it is lift and cut, depending on what you think. I'm pretty sure, if I remember, Rav Chiner said, according to most poskim, it is usher. That's true. According to most poskim, it's usher. There are poskim who say it's mutter, though he didn't quote. Rav Rabinovich says it is mutter. In his Shuvos Melumdei Milchama, he is indeed mekel. If I gather it correctly. So do the same dispensations apply to the Pas HaRosh? So the Balei HaTosfos think not, and this is based, as I said, simply on the linguistic distinction between the hair and the beard, whereby the beard it says lo tashchit, which implies only derech hashchata with a blade, but by the Pas HaRosh it says don't round the head, and that means don't make it that you don't have peyos. Doesn't matter how you got rid of them, don't make it you don't have peyos. And that is the position of the Balei HaTosfos, but they get it also from a Gemara in Nazir Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara in 10 tells you as follows. The Gemara there discusses how it is that we know, or why it is that the Pasuk has to tell us that you shave the head and the beard of a Mitzora. At the end of a Mitzora's Tahara process, you shave his head, his beard, everything. And the Gemara says, why do you need to tell me this? So the Gemara says, because you need to know that it's Doche, the prohibition, that it overrides the prohibition of shaving the beard and of cutting the head. Normally it would be prohibited to shave off the beard and the peyos. In the case of the Mitzora, you are obligated to do it. But if you look at the Gemara, so look three lines down. The Gemara says, why do I need one pasuk by the beard and one pasuk by the peyos? So the Gemara says, if I had said the beard without the head, I might have thought that shaving the whole head doesn't violate the prohibition, only focusing on the peyos. So it needs to say rosho, telling me that no, cutting any of the hair is prohibited, and that's why I need an override for mitzora. Because of rosho, below because of zikno, hava mina mashma tarte, dasi ase vidachi is lost to say umashma, that was called rosh makafa, vakati bitar minolan. The Gemara said, okay, I might have thought that, okay, I know that it's doche, but how do I know I can use a blade? Lahachi kasa rachmana zikno. So the pasuk says your beard. What?
I have to use a blade, or that I can use a blade?
Yeah, no, you have to use a blade because it has to be total, right? You cut off all the hair for a mitzora. So Tosus picks up and says, wait a second. By the beard, it says you have to do it with a tar because what's normally usher is now chayev. But it doesn't mention it by the Pas HaRosh, which implies that the prohibition of peyos is different than the beard. The beard, you can only You only can't shave it derech hashchasa with a blade. But the pasa rosh is usher to cut it all, and that's what Tosfos says in 11. Mash ma'achav b'sugya didon da kavas harosh ha'afilu below tar ve'chein isa b'toras kohanim zos tiyem toras mitzara rosho matam lomar l'fishi b'zakin mashen kim v'rosh b'rosh mashen b'zakin sharosh asher b'misparayim v'zakin mutar. He said the implication of the Gemara and what is explicit in the Mechilta is that when it comes to the pasa rosh, even with scissors, it is prohibited to cut it. However, he notes that but the Tosefta in Makos, and that's what I gave you in 13, doesn't say that, right? The skip to 13, just so you can see the Tosefta that he quotes, right? Right, the Tosefta says, not like the Mechilta, and says that even by Peos, it's only usher if you cut it with a blade. And Tosfos says that even though it says it in Tosefta, that's not a paskin, and therefore when you are cutting your head and when you're cutting your kid's hair, you have to make sure to leave peyos. And he said the minhag is to leave a lot of hair by the peyos, not to skimp on hair around the peyos area. And that is the minhag, and that's the position of Tosfos. But the Rambam, following the Tosefta, paskins not that way, and he says, "Upei azushim and nichem b'tzadim b'tzidayim lo nasnu b'cham shir." And we'll come back to that in a minute. Just skip to the end of the line. Umutr laket apeyos mitzbarayim lo neser lashchasa b'tar. Just like by the beard, it's only usher with a blade. By the peyos, it's usher with a blade. So according to the Rambam, therefore, it is mutter. You want to shave off your peyos? You can. You just have to use the right type of blade, right? Use scissors and then take your electric razor and shave off your peyos. There is no prohibition. You have no obligation to have peyos. It's just that you can't cut it with the wrong type of blade. Now, if the Rambam then adds that if you are shaving it with a blade, how much hair do you have to leave? So he says he has a misara from his rebbeim, sheino maniach apacham erbam saros. It's only considered shaving it if you don't leave 40 hairs. If you have 40 hairs left at the peyo, so then that is totally permitted. Now, so as we already mentioned, the Rambam gets this from the Tosefta, presumably. The Shara Mishpat notes that it also emerges from number 15, because the Gemara in 15 implies that there is a full hekesh, a full equation halachically, the Pa'as HaZakein and the Pa'as HaRosh, the Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The Tosas Red I gave you in 14 also paskins like the Rambam. And he defends the linguistic point, but just suffice it to say that there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Baalei HaTosfos. Okay, how do we paskin? So you look at 16 in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says pasa roshim shtayim sofar roshim makom chibur lechem yamin umismal. The pasa rosh, there are two, one on each side. And whether you shave only the peos or your whole head, including the peos, you violate. And einu chayev ela b'tar, but you only violate if you use a blade. V'yesh omrim b'misparayim ke'in tar. And some people, meaning Baalei HaTosfot, paskin, it's usher even with scissors. V'yesh lachush l'divrayim. And you should be machmir like the Baalei HaTosfot. So the Rambam and Tosfos are both quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So who does he really paskin like? Right? Which one does he really paskin like? So it sounds like at least Shulchan Aruch paskins b'ikar din like the Rambam. Right, that you're actually allowed to cut off your peyos as long as it's with scissors. But he says you should be machmir like the Baalei HaTosfot. So do we paskin like Shulchan Aruch or not? Okay, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. Do we? So if you look at the Kol Mevaster in 17, some poskim say absolutely not, under no circumstances, we do not paskin like this at all. So 17, he says, Meshum Rath, Hayotze lon mikidivrei kol haposkim ha-machabrim anal sheveti de-pazarosh ikachyuva mi de-oraisa b'misparayim ke'in tar. He said, all the poskim I've just mentioned say, no, you aren't allowed to cut your peyos even with scissors. Zulas la Rambam v'asmag de-no shave, de-dino shave le-pas ha-zok. In the Rambam, the smag are outliers. V'zok mi-misparayim ke'in tar, also mi de-rabbanan, and even by the beard, you shouldn't use scissors to cut it at least too closely, and that's midir rabban aser v'nagu yisrael lahachmer bazeh. So the Kol Mevaser says the minog is very strongly against the Rambam. The minog is very, very much against the Rambam. If you want to see how much so skip down to 22. The Kol Mevaser notes this Tshuvas Tashbeitz. The Tshuvas Tashbeitz says as follows: Kosef tochacha lekal asher ba'e mi Mallorca, right? Mallorca, that vacation island in Spain. I don't know.
Apparently, there's a lot of Muranos there.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're about to talk about them. Yes, these are Muranos. I mean, the Tashbeitz. Well, I get Tashbeitz a bit early for that, but you know, but a little bit before that, but. I think it's before that, actually. But
somebody came here and spoke about Rav Eliyahu was involved. He himself was from there.
Okay. I honestly only knew what Mallorca was because
Lumbo.
What? No, there's a passing reference to it in Harry Potter that I think it's like Uncle Vernon's sister goes on vacation in Mallorca. That's about all I know about Mallorca. But fine. He said, Gamra'iti sha'arura b'vcharechem en abayme etzlechem shem kulam k'tutze peyos. And I see that all these people coming from Mallorca don't have peyos. Ukvar yadatem ki al kol peyo peyachayev en malkos echad afil b'pam achas. And your chayev Malkos, every time you cut it, and it's asr even with scissors. Yesh malkos pasarosh lo ksivu ashchasa. Even with scissors, it's asr because it's asr even if you don't destroy it. Im kol kach hurgalu baze ashuhuter lachem adavar. And if you do it so much, you think it's mutter kilu nichrav b'torah, and you think it's not in the Torah. Hareim keelu avrual kol Torah kula vein shchitasam ksheira. It's like you violated the whole Torah, and your shchita is invalid. V'mekadesh b'fneim ishayin mekudeshes. And if you get married in front of them, they're psule eidos, and your kiddushin doesn't work. This is what should happen to your enemies. So the Tashbeitz, what?
Pardon the pun.
Exactly. So he really, really is unhappy with this, right? He's not just like, oh yeah, it's a machlok. He's like, no, there is no justification. And the Rosh Hashanah in 23 says, why so bad? So he says, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that one of the categories of the people as nochelik and olam haba is people who violate avirot so regularly that they don't even realize it's aser because there's no hope for tshuva, right? They don't even internalize they're doing something wrong, and they're amongst the minim and the kofrim and all that. They're right, and he said, that's why the Tashbeitz is so angry. So you see that the poskim will think it is aser. Think it is really, 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 really usher. The Rambam, and to be fair, the Shulchan Aruch, notwithstanding, right? That you don't normally see this on us. I mean, Tashbeitz is before the Shulchan Aruch, but the Kol Mevaser is 20th century, right? To be that harsh against Shulchan Aruch is quite striking. But the poskim who are against it are really, really against it. On the other hand, there are other poskim who note that even though we're machmir, the pashtas of Shulchan Aruch is that meikra din, we paskin like the Rambam. That you're allowed to cut off your payas, you just can't do it with a blade. So you look at the Darkei Tshuva in 20 and 21, he quotes from the Ritva, first of all, that even the Rambam might only say that it's mut or midaraisa, but he notes that the Ritva suggests that even according to people who think it's mutter to cut with scissors, it might be midas chasidus not to do that because of maris ayin, right? Because no one knows if you cut it with a scissors or a blade. Fine. But in 22, in 21, he quotes from the Tshuvas Zera Yitzchak. The Zera Yitzchak was asked the following question. Someone said that for years he'd been following the sheet of Shulchan Aruch and he'd been cutting off his payas with scissors, just not using an illegal blade. And at some point he realized that was wrong. That wasn't the accepted psak. So he asked the Zera Yitzchak, do I have to do tshuva? So the Zera Yitzchak told him, no, you don't, because mikra din we paskin like the Rambam. So what? It's a shogeg on a chumra, right? Mikra din we paskin like the Rambam. So, okay, we usually tell you to be machmir, but b'shogeg, you violated on our chumra. But Sa'alko, what'd you do? Right, you cut it with a scissor, which is fine according to the Rambam and according to Shulchan Aruch, and therefore he says, Al kopan li natshuva al sha'avar b'shogeg yesh l'smochal da'as Rambam la'akel ayin sham b'orech. So for shogeg plus something, which is the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, anyways, you don't even have to do tshuva. Right, so you see that there are these machlokas amongst the achronim. How much do we paskin? Like the Rambam, how much do we paskin like Tosfos? Even after Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Rambam, there is this open question, the Achronim. Do we totally reject Shulchan Aruch and say it's Asur, 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 or do we say we're Machmir, but it's not so bad if you paskin like the Rambam? Now, parenthetically, just because this is an important thing to know in general, so I put it here, one of the poskim who weighs in on this question is one of the oddest svarim ever written, the Shut Min HaShamayim, right? The Shut Min HaShamayim is one of the Balei HaTosfot, Rabbi Yaakov of Marvej, also known as Rabbeinu Tam of Marvej, because all Balei HaTosfot, anyone apparently in the French-German Balei HaTosfot school whose name was Yaakov became Tam, for obvious reasons, but this creates confusion, because often you'll find traditions in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that aren't Rabbeinu Tam at all, they're from Rabbi Yaakov of Marvej, which explains a lot, because Rabbeinu Tam was very not mystical in his psak, and Rabbi Yaakov Marvej is very mystical. Why? Because Rabbi Yaakov Marvej wrote a whole book called Shut Min HaShamayim. Why is it called Shut Min HaShamayim? Because it's exactly what it sounds like. He would have a bunch of shailas, he would write it on a piece of paper, he'd put it under his pillow, and in the morning, he'd have a dream, and whatever he heard in his dream, he wrote down, and that is the book. So he writes, in 18, Ot Sha'alti Yaakov HaZarosh, he asked this question, right? Do we pass like the Rambam or like Tosfos? Or like the Gemara or the Tosefta, as he puts it, right? So he said, 18 in the middle, Veheshivo, Likrat Sameh Dev Mayim, Likrat Etzmeim Lederei Torah Vechomdenos of the Mayim, Voreshivish Loser Torah, Kofas Arosh, Elish Lo Yir Yisrael Kim Sham Shevo Dezara, Vechol Mekah Vechol Shash, Shevo Dezara Mekin Lo Yama, Vechol Machmer Marichan Lo Yam Mushnos. He said, right, this Malach, or this angelic voice told him, look, the reason it is Aser is because you can't look like an idolater. If you cut your payas one way or the other, you'll look like an idolater, and therefore it is aser, and you should never try to find kulos when it comes to avodah zarah, and therefore you should be machmer, we paskin like Tosfos, and not like the Rambam. How much weight does the Shut Min HaShamayim have in halacha? So I gave you in 19 for a small piece from Yabi Omer. But if you're interested in it, so Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Mem Aleph, Arachayim, and Yabi Omer, the entire tshuva is on this topic, is how seriously do we take Shut Min HaShamayim lehalacha? Because on the one hand, you'd say, hey, it's from God. That's good. We should paskin like God. On the other hand, we have Lo B'Shamayim Hi. We don't paskin based on dreams. We don't paskin based on the vua. We don't paskin based on any of this stuff. So Bavadya goes through this whole thing. He is, first he tries to defend him, and he says, it's not just how much we rely on him. He says, isn't it usher? So he says, not usher, because it's not nevuah. Dream is only 1/60th of nevuah. So a navi, rishay l'chadesh davar me'ata. Right? A navi doesn't have the right to be m'chadesh nu psak. A dreamer, not so, or even be machriya. We don't listen to a navi to be machriya psak. A dream might be different. So he said, maybe it's not violating a halacha or whatever. But he said, look, pashtus is that chalomos are just, they're dvarim betela. I mean, like, it's not so important, right? It's that it's whatever. Right? We don't change our minag, right? His conclusion is, in the end of the day, lo b'shamayim he tells us we don't rely on these things, we don't rely on James, and therefore, lo malav and lo morid, that, I mean, you can quote it if you want, but in terms of binding halacha, the fact that it's there doesn't help you. He brings arguments back and forth in that tshuva if you are interested in the topic. Okay, close parentheses. Okay, so we're up to 24 then. So, what we have so far is that wherever exactly the Pasaros start, the Rambam says, at that point, it still has the same halachos as the Pasazakin, that you are allowed to cut it as long as you use the right type of scissors, the right type of instrument. The Tosfos say not. Shulchan Aruch says, Mekra din, he passing with the Rambam. But B'dievet, Lechatchili tells you Paskin like Tosfos. Kol Mavaser says that the Poskim really regardless of what Shulchan Aruch says, really paskin that it is usher to cut the payas at all. And the Darkei Tshuva, according to the Zohar Yitzchak, said, no, Mikra didn't really do paskin on the Rambam, even if Michumra, Midas Chasidus, you should avoid cutting off the payas because of Maris Ayin. and the like, and we had that ha'ara of the there at Tzvi that make sure not to leave hair which isn't the peyos or the beard and then think you've fulfilled your mitzvah and then shave off anything that is halachically significant. That would be atrocious. Okay, next question the poskim ask is, what about plucking hair? What about pulling it out, not cutting it, but pulling it out? So the Aruch Laner, if I asked you, is mutter to pull out your peyos out of your head, what would you say? At first glance, what does it depend on?
Is it a shchatz or not?
Yeah, well, before we get to that, Rambam Tosfos, does hashchasa matter? Meaning, according to Tosfos, hashchasa shouldn't matter because there's an active chiyuv to have payas. According to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, it's only derech hashchasa, then you have to ask, is pulling out derech hashchasa? And that's what the Aruch Laner says. It depends on the Rambam versus Tosfos. However, there was this fascinating diyun that went back and forth between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chassam Sofer as follows. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, well, wait a second. If we paskin like Tosfos, that when it comes to peyos, you're not allowed to cut the peyos, even with a mutter blade, so then not only should it be aser to cut your peyos off, but there's something much more mundane every day that should be aser as well, namely combing your hair. Because Gemara Nazir says that a Nazir isn't allowed to comb his hair because it's a psik resha that he's going to pull out hair. But if you think that when it comes to pay at Pas HaRosh, it's usher to pull out, to remove the hair, doesn't matter how you do it, you shouldn't be allowed to comb your hair. So why is it mutter to comb your payos? So that led to a machlokas, Rabbi Gvigar, and the Chassam Sofer, look at 25, it's called the Pesachei Tshuva. He says, Minalan heter shrikos pasa rosh l'man the machmer, afil misra am kein tam, bishon lofina rosh mizokein. Im kein yesh laser, kol mine akafa, afil min misrak. If it's true that we forbid everything, so then you shouldn't even be allowed to comb your payas. V'huzal herecht ein shim puk bazeh, lo mi boi ledas haram diyav shivur lepas harosh, arbaim saros. The Chassam Sofer said, not so fast. First of all, even according to the Rambam, because the Rambam tells you that what is it, the Rambam has 2 points. One is that it's only usher to cut your hair with a forbidden blade. But he also tells you that at Mesorah, that it's only usher to cut your payas if you don't leave 40 hairs. So if you're going to comb your hair, usually you don't pull out most of the hair. You leave 40 hairs, so it's fine. But he said the smag seems to think that it's usher even to cut in a forbidden way even 2 hairs. So still, it should be mutter. It should be usher. But he said, no, according to the smag, it is usher. Why? Sorry, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? So I gave you the Tshuva Svahanagos' analysis of it in 26. So he says as follows. He said, because there's a few differences. First of all, even if you think that it's only that it's usher to cut your hair in any way, there's still a difference between Nazir and Peyos. By Nazir, you aren't allowed to cut your hair at all. Even by Peyos, there is some destructive element to it, but when you comb, which hairs come out? The ones that are already loose enough that are going to come out, That, when it comes to payos, there's no ashkash at all, So pulling out is not quite the same. Cutting is actually worse than pulling out, because cutting, you're cutting hairs that aren't ready to be destroyed, but pulling out, or combing at least, when it's not miskavein, that's going to be usser. Sorry, mutter. That's going to be mutter. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, presumably the reason he thought this was a problem is because he intuitively felt that it's the opposite. The Nazir, what's the chiyuv by Nazir? By Nazir, it never says you can't cut your hair. What does it say? Grow your hair. Gadol pera. So maybe Rabbi Akiva Eiger was bothered because he said, look, by Nazir, you have to grow your hair. I am growing my hair. If I'm combing my hair and the weak hairs fall out, that doesn't change the fact that I'm growing my hair. So maybe that's why Rabbi Gevi Eger intuitively felt that Nazir should be more makil. But the Chassam Sofer suggested, no, it's more Nazir, is more machmir. And that's why it's obvious that you can comb your hair. And he notes that he saw, and he said, what's his big raya? Chassam Sofer said, because my Rebbe wasn't machmir. That was his, he said, if you look at the third paragraph here, it says, Chassam Sofer said, Salmevi, Shemaisa, Lerabanan Kishishai, Sheyachmiru Bazeh. He said, Lemaisa, he didn't see that people were machmir, including Rosen Adler. And therefore, he was Mekel. Okay. So just because it was in the Tshuvas Menhagos, I put it here, but you know what, I'm going to come back to it because it's not actually in the logical order. I just kept it all together. So let us skip down to 29. And we'll come back to the end of 26, 27, 28. Okay, fine. So once we've gotten to this point, now I have to ask, well, what does it mean? Even if you want to say that you have to leave your hair, how long does your hair have to be? Right? You have to leave your peyos to be endlessly long. No, you just can't cut it, right? In a way that is somewhat destructive that gets rid of them. Now, how much hair do you have to leave? So this is a big machlokes. The Achronim all try to find Rayot from different sugyot, because there is no explicit discussion in the early Rishonim when it comes to peyos, and therefore they try to be medayik from other sugyot. So, for example, Minchas Yitzchak is medayik from the Rambam in Nazir. The Rambam in Nazir says, when does a Nazir violate shaving his head? She said, Nazir shegilach sara achas loke bein betar bein bezug. A nazir is chayiv when he cuts his hair, however he does it. Or if he pulls it out, whether he shaves himself or someone where he is shaven. But if he leaves enough hair that he can fold it over, right, that he can grab the hair and fold it back from the edge to the root, so then that is permitted. And the Mishlas Yitzchak in 30 says that this is true for peyos as well. Nafkamina gedola gamlinin pasarosh vazakin lamanda machmer kein tar kimavur b'shulchanu poskim sham da sarach lasher kadei lachov rosho liikaron. He said he thinks that peyos is the same shear. Right, you can cut your peyos until only up until the point where you would still have enough room with the hair to fold it back to into the head. So how long is that? I don't know. Figure it out yourself, right? Take a hair, right? If you have stubble, right? Stubble is not enough, right? Stubble, you can't really fold back, right? At some point, it gets long enough, you can fold it back. That is going to be permitted. That's the position of Minchas Yitzchak. Though he notes that Rabbi Kiva Eger and he says that he found this in Rabbi Kiva Eger as well. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the same thing in his Tshuvot. The Be'er Halacha in 31, the Be'er Halacha wrote the Mishnah Brura, really waged war against people who shaved their head. He had quite a strong opposition to people who shaved their head. He wrote actually an entire sefer criticizing people who illicitly shaved their head and beard and were trying to you know be like the goyim, etc. Now he has a mini version of that polemic in the Be'er Halacha on Reish Nun Aleph, and he says Ve'yish Omrim de pasa rosh chomer od mi pas zakin over a lava fuel mavirim misparayim kain tar the hindu samach lipsero. Some like Tosfos say that peyos are even more machmir than the beard because it's also even with permitted scissors. Bavalanoseinu arabim matzu ishamavir as the peyos at samach lipsar and mamish. He said, look, I see all these people who shave their peyos up to the head, up to the skin. Veim b'sharin klal veish b'zech shash daraisa, and they're violating, or they might be violating daraisa. V'hayilem l'shayer alkol panim k'tzas menek. They should have left a little bit, at least a little bit. Now, how much is that? I don't know. But it sounds like Mishnah Brura thinks that, I mean, I don't know how much do you think a little is? I don't know. It's presumably less than they, right, enough to fold it over, right? He says, right, if you're leaving it over, right, destruction is total. What is mutter? Ktas mena ktas. If yoser mizay yish mechorim shebesefer shesaper mesaper rosho leach lo ser sheitzel oznam machmash mutanim choshem basa rosh nikar rak masha anu karn peya velochein kasher kasavnu lav gomer deraisa lederakol vegamzel lav afilo anikav chanal al karga afilo mesaper who eno yudi shol zero. And he said, therefore, because the prohibition applies both to the person getting the haircut and giving it, even if a non-Jew is cutting his hair, he should tell the barber, don't cut my hair. Don't cut off my payos. How much that is, I don't know, but he seems to be more makil than the Minchas Yitzchak. The Torah Lishma, which is a... it's an interesting book. The Torah Lishma is a Tshuva Sefer, which is probably written like by the Ben Ish Chai, but we don't really know, because the Ben Ish Chai was Motziat under a pseudonym, and it's generally assumed that he actually wrote it. Why he didn't put it under his own name, I have no idea. But that's the Torah Lishma. The Torah Lishma is a different shir, which he gets from the Rambam in Hilchos Paraduma. The Rambam by Paraduma is a prohibition to cut the hair as well. And he says, how much is it? So he says, V'tzarach shishar min hamadim kedei shinatel bezug. Shikol shishar shen and tell bezug, areu ki'ilu, ki'ilu eina. The Rambam says, it's not considered a hair if you can't grab it with a tweezer. Once you can't grab the hair with a tweezer, it doesn't exist. So the Torah Lishma 33 takes that for this, and he says, "Matzino b'din para aduma pasuk Rambam, etc." Miu matzino sheishir achel l'chomer v'shir kedei lachov rosh on leikaron. So he said the Rambam has two different shiurim. He prefers the longer shear, as he says, "Miu vada yu yosa arukim adiv tvei." The longer, the better. Kadeshin yikarim yosa, because then it'll be seen. Vizem noy shalanu shanachnu mitnayim mizam b'mitzvos. Hashem yisbarach elkinu velkavoseinu, because we glorify ourselves in mitzvos. But he suggests the possibility that it's that shorter shear. So, how much do you have to leave? Not so much. The Prisha as well in 34 just says, "What is aser?" It's aser until it's chalak, or until it's absolutely smooth, which sounds like how much do you have to leave? Very, very minimal. Okay, so Lamaitha, what do you do with that, right? You have the Prisha, the Mishnah Berurah say leave a little bit, don't shave it entirely. Then you have the Torah Lishma, who says maybe it's as much as you grab with the tweezers, or maybe it has to be longer, Leminchas Yitzchak, that it's enough to fold over. So Rav Belsky gives you practical advice in 35. He says he thinks it's probably enough if you leave it to a number two, right? Which is two, right? Which is 2/8 of an inch or a quarter of an inch, right? So when you go to the barber, he says number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number whatever. Rebelsky said probably a number two is enough to fulfill all the positions. If you want to be strict, so he said definitely a number three, right? So 3/8 of an inch. Right, is going to be sufficient, but probably a quarter of an inch is sufficient, or a number two on your shaver. So that is the position, that's the practical advice that Rav Belsky gives, though as we've seen, you could theoretically defend an even more more makel position, that it would just be enough even just to grab with the tweezers, which, I don't know, maybe even a one, right? One you could probably... Right, probably a quarter of an eighth of an inch. You probably could still grab it with the tweezers. I don't know. I don't think you could fold it over, but you could probably grab it with the tweezers. So you could defend that. But lamaisa the postgame, as you see, tend to be a bit more machmir, and they say, look, it's a chashash daraisa. At the end of the day, you might as well be machmir. So they give you these practical, more sort of expansive shita. Okay, now let's say you've hit all the shita. Is there a value in having even longer payos? So, 36. The Rambam tells you no. Rambam says absolutely not. There isn't. Just look at the last line. He says, "Ein hadavar bepeos kach elu hu mitzvos lo zasei levad ufichoch eino chayav legadlon ela asura alav hashkasa levad." So no, it is a prohibition. Don't violate the prohibition, and that's it. There is no mitzvos asei. It doesn't say grow your payos. It says don't cut them. So once you've checked off the boxes, you're done. You don't need long payos. You don't need anything beyond the absolute minimum. There is no value. But as we all know, there are many people with very long payos. So where does it come from? So in many of the mystical makaros, you do get all type of suggestions. The most fun is Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman has this. I couldn't find it in the original, but I found this online. Rav Nachman promised people that if they would go to Uman and Daven at his grave, say the Tikkun Klali every day, the 10 Kpitlach Tehillim, and give tzedakah for his own sake, that no matter how great his sin will be, he promises that he will pull them out of Gehenna by their payos. That was his promise. So there are many Hasidim who like this and say, ah, if I have long payos, it gives Rav Nachman more room to pull me out of Gehenna if I'm there. Though I have to say, once I was, I don't know how I ended up here, but we were visiting, no, I do know, we were visiting, before I moved to Staten Island, we lived in Brooklyn Heights, so we went back to visit the shul and the rabbi. It's not a Chabad shul, but the rabbi is a Chabad rabbi, and he was having a, one of those parades. I don't know, Chanasa Sefer Torah, blah, I don't know what it was, Lag BaOmer, who knows what it was. And some not from guy, come over to him and said, you know, why is it that I see all these Hasidim, they have those long side curls, and the Chabad, you know, you don't have any of the, you don't have payos. So the guy told him, he said, look, Rav Nachman of Breslov said that if you go to Gehenna, and you have payos, he promised he'll pull you out of Gehenna. We say that if you come with us, you'll never go to Gehenna, so you don't need payos to be pulled out by. Okay. I don't know what to make of either of those sheets, though I honestly have no clue. But that's one of the mystical things that is indeed quoted, is this Masorah from Nachman of Breslov. In 39, I gave you from the Moadim L'Simcha, he writes, that many of the Hasidim think that for some reason, and they talk about all types of mystical reasons, it brings down the Shefa from God, I don't know exactly what it is, but long payos are a skula for long life. So he went to visit the Remeir Parmishlan. He was sitting on his lap and he was playing with his payos. He said, your grandfather of Shalom never cut his payos. And it's a school for long life. So there is this. This is Mitzora, and he quotes as well from the Belzer and from the Bardichever that it gives you long life, and then he says maybe we do it specifically to counter those who are mashches. Okay. So there are any, if you look through different Hasidic Svarim, you'll see that this is, this comes up a lot. A similar related question that the poskim have is, okay, well, once you have payas, are you allowed to put them behind your ears? Right? If you're already growing long payas, should you hide them, or does that show that you're embarrassed? So I'm not going to get to read it all inside, but Bikitsur, the Mishnah Brura opposes people putting their tzitzis in their pants, because he says, it shows that you are embarrassed of mitzvahs and you're not being mekayim, seeing it. So is payos the same way? So first of all, it's not clearly passing like the Mishnah Berurah on this, right? The Mishnah Berurah is very, but it's, not everyone agrees in the Mishnah Berurah. With payos, so some of the poskim are very, very machbed on this and say the same thing is true of payos. The Chazon Ish apparently said this, I gave you in 42. And he said, maybe in Chutz Laaretz you can hide your payos because you have to be afraid of the Goyim, but in Eretz Yisrael you shouldn't be. And the Mishnah Alach was in 40, says, Chas v'shalom, you should never hide your payos. On the other hand, then Az Nidbaru says, I don't know what you're talking about. Who are you kidding? Right? My payos are behind my ears now, and you can see them, right? It's very hard to keep your payos behind your ears. You know, realistically, tzitzis, I understand. Even if you want to say you're not ashamed of mitzvah, so don't hide your tzitzis, your payos, you're not tricking anybody. They may be behind your ears, but very practically, doesn't matter. There is also this Kabbalistic thing that if you do have long payos, the Yisod Shorish HaAvodah says you shouldn't let your payos cover your ears during Shmona Esrei. It's something about it interfering with tefillos going up to Shamayim. I have no idea what this means. I mamash have no idea what I don't know what this means, but I gave it to you. And the, you can see the Osnibru isn't thrilled with this in number 45. Okay, just the last thing to note. So that's basically, again, the simple halakhic thing is Rambam Paskins, you're allowed to even cut off your payas as long as you do it with the right scissors. Tosfos says not that way. Most people are machmir. How long do you have to keep them? So we saw either leave a little bit or enough to fold it over, whatever, a two, a three, whatever, something like that. 40 hairs, right? Once you have 40 hairs, you're definitely fine, according to the Rambam. We mentioned some of the mystical stuff, right? That it's arichas yamum, brings down shefa, it saves you from Gehenna, who knows? That is just a bit on payas. There's plenty, plenty more. The last thing I'll just note, which isn't this, but this is a totally different halachic issue that comes up, is curling payas on Shabbos. So this is actually a real problem. The Gemara in Shabbos Tatsanihei says that braiding hair on Shabbos is bona, either Daraisa or Darabanan, Machlok Rishonim, because the Pasuk says that Hashem, Vayiven et Atzela, right, built Chava, and the Chazal darshan that it means that for their first date, Hashem braided Chava's hair for Adam, and we call it bona. And therefore, structuring your hair in braids and the like is usur, either midoraisa or dirabbanan. And therefore, the post can bring down that twirling your payas, at least in a way that really is meant to keep a shape, it might be usur midoraisa on Shabbos. And that is that's the bolded part I gave you in 26 from the Chuvos Van Hagos. Some of the poskim, you know, distinguish between, right, you know, how much you're twirling them, right, if you're doing it. Now, they also note that often the people who have the biggest problem with this are Hasidim, who go to the mikveh all the time. So he said, right, make sure that your chomer going to the mikveh doesn't turn into a hechitim for you violating this or the rights of bone on Shabbos. There's also a potential problem of pulling out hairs, right, as you twirl them, and that, so there are a lot of, Shabbos halachos, the poskim just note, if you do have longer payos, you have to be careful about, don't twirl them and try not to pull on them too much if that's gonna pull out a hair, and that's what I gave you in 26, 27, 28. There's a lot more, as I said, on payos and beards and the like, but it is time for Maariv.